The question was asked with regard to gender differences and Judaism's take on men's role in the world, women's role in the world. How do we understand that men make a blessing every morning, Shelo asani isha, thanking God that they were not created female? So let's begin by understanding men's role, women's role, men's tools, women's tools, and then let's evolve to that question. We're all created to serve Hashem, men and women. Now, we have different roles, just like a Kohen has a different role than a Levi. A Kohen can serve in certain places in the temple that a Levi may not. A Levi may serve in certain areas in the temple that a Yisrael may not. A woman has mitzvos that a man doesn't have. A man has mitzvos that a woman doesn't have. There are different roles for different people. I cannot be a Kohen. My father wasn't a Kohen. I cannot be a Levite. My father isn't a Levite. I have my responsibility. If I'm a descendant from the Davidic dynasty, then maybe I could be a king one day. If I am not, so I can do other jobs. There are other tasks. We each have our role. Now, you'll ask me, do we look down at someone because he has a different role? And the answer is no. We do not look down at someone. Avram and Sarah. In certain respects, Sarah was greater than Avram. Sarah had a closer relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sarah had greater prophecy than Avram did. The Navi speaks to the Jewish people. He says, Nashim sha'ananot, women who can have tranquility. So the Talmud asks, why can women have tranquility? So the Talmud says, because women are guaranteed their portion in the world to come. Women have responsibilities, but in certain respects, it's easier and better to be a woman. And this is a recurring theme in Judaism. Women have their role, men have their role. Sometimes things switch. You have couples where the woman is making the parnasa. She's supporting the house. It's not the way it's usually going to be. Ordinarily, the husband has a job to go out to work, and the woman has a job of taking care of the home. So now you'll ask me, who's more important? And I'll tell you, the woman. Because he's working to sustain her job. She's not taking care of the kids so he can work. He's working so she can take care of the kids. So who's working for whom? Sometimes we get confused. We say, oh, he's got the big job. But that's not our focus. Our focus is building the home. And she was given a bigger responsibility in that realm. So we look at it, and if we want to really understand the Jewish view of a woman, we have to look at a broad perspective. What is the Torah compared to? A man or a woman? A woman. Eishet chayil mi yimtza, that woman of valor. It's a description of the Torah. It's a description of the people of Israel. So often in Tanakh, where the prophets wanted to describe something wonderful and great, they described it with a woman. If they wanted to describe that God loves the Jewish people and that we're a tremendous people, so you look at the Song of Songs and we're compared to a woman. The whole Jewish people are compared to a woman. So there are definite strengths and advantages to being a woman. And we don't look down at women. On the contrary, most of halacha is there to protect the woman, to act in her favor. The whole ksuba in a marriage is set up to protect the woman. The husband gets married and he signs a contract saying what he owes her. How come she doesn't sign the contract? You know, in places that are not observant, places that don't go with tradition, just like he gives her a ring, she gives him a ring. But by us, we don't view it that way. The Torah comes and says, you are viewing it as an honor to be allowed to marry her. That's why you're giving her something. It's not a relationship where we have equal jobs. You're taking a responsibility to take care of her. You're going to fight on her behalf. You have to ensure to take care of her up to you sign in the ksuba, down to the shirt off my back. The wording of the ksuba, migli mai dal ktefai. I'm taking responsibility up to the shirt off my back. So if you want to see how the halacha views women, you got to look at the broad halacha. And you'll see that there are tremendous number of things that are in her favor, even when it comes to burial. A husband has the responsibility to bury his wife, to buy her a burial plot next to her. But she can say, honey, not interested. I want to be buried with my father. So she has the plus that he can't turn around and say, I don't want you. Look, I had it with you my whole life. Let me rest in peace. He can't say that. If they're married till the end, he must buy her a burial plot next to him. But she's given the right to say, not interested, right? Halacha says he has to take care of her. He has to get a job. He has to take care that she has whatever she needs as far as clothing and food and basic needs. But let's say she's getting a very high-paying job. She could say, honey, I'm not interested. Meaning, the halacha says, whatever she works, whatever money she makes, the default is he gets that money because he has to take care of her. But if she's making so much money that she says, I'm not interested, I don't want you to take care of me, let me keep my salary, the halacha says she can say that. She's entitled to say, you know, Chazal put this institution to protect me. They said that whatever I make is given to my husband because he's responsible for taking care of me. But if he's not taking care of me, then I can keep my own salary. Or if I feel confident that I don't need that, then I can say, keep yours, I'll keep mine. It's not necessarily recommended. It's not necessarily the best way to run a house. But you see time and again that the Torah and the Halacha are very focused on protecting and helping the woman. So when we look at this bracha, we have to have a broad perspective. When you look throughout Tanakh and you look throughout the Shas, if you get a broad look, you see that the Tanakh and the Shas were very positive. The view of a woman is in very high esteem. You see it throughout the Tanakh, you see it throughout the Shas. At the end of the day, when we look at 613 mitzvot, there is a greater number of mitzvot that a man is obligated to perform than a woman. So there are commentaries in Olat Re'iya, he writes, that the blessing of She'asani Kirtzono is a woman making a blessing, that's her equivalent of Shelo Asani Isha, is a woman making a blessing, thanking God that her nature is more attuned to God than man's nature. And as such, she doesn't need as many mitzvot. Man is created in a way that his nature requires him to have more obligations. So he thanks God and says, okay, thank you for not making me a woman. I have all these mitzvot, all these different angles to connect to you. The woman comes and says, She'asani kirtzono, thank you Hashem for making me in a way that I didn't need all those mitzvot. I can connect to you without it. My nature is more in line with the nature you want a person to have. So that's one interpretation of She'asani kirtzono. There are others. But coming back to Shelo Asani Isha, in a broad sense, a woman has many advantages. If Sarah was greater than Avraham Avinu in prophecy, so that doesn't necessarily mean she knew more of Shas than Avraham Avinu. It could be that her way of connecting to Hashem was very different. We find in many places that women were more potent than men. Look at Rachel and Yaakov. Rachel's prayers were answered. That's why she married it to have children. Look at Elkanah and Chana. Elkanah is the prophet, the leader of the day, but his wife Chana, it's her prayers that are answered. You see it throughout Tanakh, time and again. There's a strength that women have that men just don't have. And there's a relationship they have with Hashem that men don't have. Now you look at 613 mitzvot, and Chazal made blessings that revolve around the idea of what angles of connection I have with Hashem. So they said, okay, you make a blessing that you were born Jewish, that you have that level of connection. You make a blessing that you were born a free man. You make a blessing that you were born male, and you have those mitzvot to connect to Hashem. Again, if you look at one aspect, then you could walk away and say, oh, you're making a blessing, thank God you're not a woman. But if you look more closely, you'll see that the blessings have a totally different angle. Now, if you'll ask, then why do we make a blessing thanking God, I'm not a woman, as opposed to a blessing thanking God, I am a man? So that's a different class. We once discussed that. That's the Bach over there. Many commentaries discuss that. Why were all the blessings set up in negation form? You don't make a blessing thanking God you were Jewish. You make a blessing thanking God you weren't born non-Jewish, etc. So that's another question that needs to be addressed. But if you want, we already have a class on that online.
If at the end of the day, covenant, the yellow instruments was there. It has a similar song with that question.
I think that the focus of the blessings is thanking God for the opportunities we each have. You'll ask me, is a person who's blind worse than a person who can see? And I'll say no. A person who's blind might be better than a person who can see. But a person who can see was given certain tools to serve Hashem. So he's thanking Hashem. In the blessings of the morning, Pokeach Ivrim, thank you for giving me the ability to see. Now, does that mean that the person who was not given the ability to see is a bad person, is less good, is less desirable in God's eyes? No. But I still thank God for the opportunities I was given.